I told the QB room those all those count all his passing yards. So he did all the work. You know, I just managed to get it up and over, and guys did a great job of blocking downfield. And man, those cutbacks cross court. You know, when you have a guy like that with speed and the eye for vision for that, we work screens all the time. And you know, it showed on that play and a couple other ones too. So I'm excited to see those guys get in space like that.
Case Keenum talking about his dump off to Savon Ahmed, 49-yard touchdown that resulted in part of the comeback that the Bears had. Bears are down 10-0 early in this one and then put up 34 unanswered points. Bears take the victory 34-10 in their first preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. And now we get to bring in, yes, one of your favorites from Rahimi Harris and Grody, the latter of it all, Mark Grody. What's up, brother?
What's going on, Gabe? I am freshly returned from Soldier Field, watching preseason game number one. Worked the locker room a little bit and had a, just like my walk to Soldier Field, my walk home from Soldier Field required me to pop an umbrella, which I did.
Your favorite thing to do, pop an umbrella while you're walking, Grody, that I do know. Talk to me about this game, and in particular, just like a scene setter, like more so, what was the feeling? And was it that of the crowd that was, you know, expecting greatness from this one? Or was people just kind of happy that football was back and they were just kind of there?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because it was a terrific crowd. And I just happened to it. So when you're in the press box, you got a big sheet of glass in front of you. So you can't really get a feel for the crowd unless you actually go into the crowd. And I did that. I did that at halftime. I went into the north end zone, happened to have a few friends who were at the game. And so I made my way through the people and to the north end zone near the tippy top of it. And it felt like a real game. It did, like in terms of the way the fans were paying attention, what they were getting excited about. And I went, by the way, I should point this out, it was in the, you know, it was halftime that I went up there, and I sat with my friends for about, you know, a decent portion of the third quarter. So this is where you have the backups to the backups into the game. Right. You got Case Keenum in the game right there. But when I was sitting in the stands, he just happened to hit Savon Ahmed with that big play, with I think it was a 49-yard touchdown,
yeah,
to Savon Ahmed. And it didn't seem like a laissez-faire, lazy, passive crowd. And I think that, you know, part of it is what the Bears did last year. Part of it also is sometimes this is the only opportunity that certain Bears fans have to go to games. So they're not only going to go and enjoy Soldier Field, enjoy being in our city, enjoying Chicago, but they want to see the Bears win. So I'm so glad you asked that, because I felt the crowd, and I was saying to my colleagues in the press box, I was like, you know, it wasn't a full house, but I was like, this is a really good crowd. And that was, again, that's when I was in the press box, like just seeing the amount, the population, the attendance, and then actually going into it. I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go overboard. It didn't have the feel of an actual, you know,
sure,
regular season game, but it was different from other preseason games that I've attended either as a fan or as a broadcaster.
And that's how I felt. You know, because I was at the last home game for the Chicago Bears, not covering it, but as a fan. And I could just imagine, you know, the way that made you feel, you just couldn't wait to get to Soldier Field. And so if you ended up with tickets to the first game of the brand new season, I'm sure, as you mentioned, just, you know, people were ready to see something, and they did, right? Bears down early, 10-0. Didn't look great for Tyson Bagent, the offense, the defense, Dayo Odenigbo, but then 34 straight points by the Chicago Bears to really just put it on and give the crowd, you know, what they liked. I want to start, Grody, with the offensive line. We knew we were getting Karan Amagaji. We knew we were getting Jedrick Wills. What did you think about specifically the performance from those that rotated in and out of the left tackle position?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say neither is standing out to where You look at Karan Amagaji, you know, he's dominating his guy. You know, I mean, let's face it, the first two drives of the game, they were three and outs. And I'm not sure, I'm not putting all the responsibility on Karan Amagaji, all the responsibility for there being two, three and outs right there. I mean, that's Tyson Bagent, and that's the Bears offense right there. And obviously you're not playing with your starter, and not a lot of starters on offense, so that you have to give them that. I'll say this, you know, it's very difficult to evaluate offensive line without going back and really zeroing in on it. And I watched it as closely as I could. So I'll say this, you know, I thought Karan Amagaji was fine. I spoke to him after the game, and he is playing with, like, when he speaks, he's speaking with a lot more confidence. He did say that he does want to still get better in pass protection and using his feet better and things like that. He was fine. You know, unfortunately for Jedrick Wills, you know, he was probably fine as well, but there was one really bad moment for him, and that was the Julian Okwara sack. I believe it was a one-arm sack. You know, I love a good one-arm guy. And he just kind of wiggled, probably the wrong word, just sort of dominated Jedrick Wills, who just looked helpless on that particular play. And again, it's probably not fair for me to judge Jedrick Wills' entire day on that, but it stood out, unfortunately. And as has this entire left tackle battle beyond Braxton Jones, it's tough to discern who you could trust if Braxton Jones isn't there. Now, the good news is, and I don't know if you heard this because it was very subtle, at the end of last week, Braxton Jones did return to practice. It was not a padded practice, but he was back out there. You know, he probably would have been put down if there was an injury report. He probably would have been put down as limited, but that is good news. And the reports have been that the Braxton Jones injury is not that serious. So the Bears are gathering at Halas Hall tomorrow. So maybe we'll get a further update on what's going on with Braxton Jones. But yeah, I don't think either. If I had to call it, Dave, I would say Karan Amagaji looked better than Jedrick Wills today, but it probably does require like further investigation and further analysis and watching back.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, you and I are just talking about the left tackle position and performance today, and then if you're, you know, actually the coach of the team or, you know, the offensive line coach, whatever, like, you're like, oh, damn. Are we bringing somebody else in this thing, like, just in case? Because, you know, like, Braxton, let's not forget, Braxton Jones was supplanted by Theo Benedict. And then you weren't sure. And now you got the Jedrick, Karan, just the whole thing. And you're like, this doesn't make me feel good. But, again, we knew that. Going into the season, it was just unfortunate that you couldn't get something when given an opportunity. Because, Grody, let's be very honest, there were guys that were on the field today that didn't make the most of their opportunity. Of course, we're talking about guys like Savon Ahmed. We're talking about Beanie Bishop. We're talking about Caden Davis, Jamri Croma. Like, there are guys that did make an impact. Who do you feel like made the biggest impact today in preseason game one?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to resist going with Caden Davis, because he's a guy that has stood out, quite frankly, in training camp. Like, Caden Davis's name has been called a ton in the practices that I've been to. I've been to about a handful of training camp practices, and I feel like every time that I've watched them in 11-on-11, Caden Davis, like, who is that? Oh, Caden Davis again. And he had four catches for 88 yards and a 41-yard touchdown. So I thought that he looked really good. And, you know, I don't know where the place is for these guys on the team. Like, I put, you know, Caden Davis in a group kind of with Scotty Miller is another name as well. I think he had a catch or two today, mm-hmm. But in terms of, you know, like, how much room is there left in the wide receiver room to make this roster? Not much. But you do, Luther Burden is hurt, you know, and Luther Burden is expected to, you know, if everything goes perfectly, Luther Burden will be back and playing in the Carolina game in week one, but, you know, nobody has promised that. So it's wait and see. You know, he stood out for sure. That was great to see him. You know, it's interesting because I, you know, when we were doing the show out of Gallagher Way, we brought up these names. I brought up Caden Davis. I brought up Savon Ahmed, another guy who was helping his case. Quite frankly, though, what a great day for the running back room in whole. I mean, Roschon Johnson looked very determined out there, looked very good, I thought, running the football. Savon Ahmed, the 49-yard pass from Case Keenum that we talked about. Britton Brown, who played last year, actually played in a real game last year. I don't know if Bears fans remember, but Britton Brown played in the Cincinnati game last year due to injuries and had broke off with a 25 to 30-yard touchdown run. He had a 7-yard touchdown catch. Coleman Bennett, another running back, had himself a 3-yard touchdown run in the game. So I thought as a whole, the running backs room comported themselves really well. And again, not a lot of room in terms of spots beyond DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson, but there are positions to be won. We know that Roschon Johnson is a guy who is probably going to end up back on special teams, but he looked, you know, I thought he looked good out there today, as did the other three running backs I just mentioned.
We're talking with Mark Grody from Raheemy Harrison Grody. You can hear them, of course, weekdays 10 to 2 right here on 104.3 The Score. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you following a Bears victory 34-10 in their first preseason match. Tyson Bagen, 13 for 22 on the day, buck 69. Case Keenum, 9 for 10, 151, and a perfect passer rating. Mark Grody. Bagen didn't look the greatest in the first couple of series, looked very pedestrian, just being frank and honest. Then, obviously, Case Keenum comes in, and then you can't help but ask yourself, right, these questions. You're like, wait a second. It's preseason. He performed well. You know they're going to carry three quarterbacks. We know this already. But what did you think about Tyson Bagen's performance? You know, coming out, no Caleb Williams. You get the ball, young man.
Yeah, well, I think Tyson Bagen referred to the first couple series as being slappy. they were three and outs and didn't go too well. But I mean, like, we're seeing all of a sudden, it's weird to say, like, Tyson Bagen is turning into a veteran quarterback. And one of the things, if you're a veteran quarterback, you're not going to be as flustered. You're going to have some bad moments, and those two three and outs were bad moments. The interception that we talked about, that was a bad moment for Tyson Bagen. But you know, to come back and to get good or get better within the game, and to have that confidence playing with all these third and fourth stringers. Obviously, he's got a young center in there and Logan Jones. I mean, it's a tough task sometimes, and he eventually got things humming. So, yeah, I would say on the overall, like, Tyson Bagen continues to look strong, you know, despite a couple of spots where it wasn't great and it wasn't great to start. But I feel so comfortable as that guy being the backup quarterback for the Bears, to where, I mean, obviously nobody wants to see Caleb go down. You don't want to see him go down for even one series. But it's at the point where, and you know, I wasn't always as confident in Tyson Bagen as maybe other people, but like, I am absolutely confident in that guy at any moment that he might have to come into a game.
No problem there. We love Tyson Bagen in the Bagency. I'm trying to think, Grody, you know, you start the training camp, Bears. You start the training camp, then you get to your first preseason game. What do you think it is? Right? I mean, obviously, you're not playing majority of your starters. I mean, is it really just getting tape on your guys? Is it more so trying out plays for the Bears? Is it just 1 week closer to the start of regular season? Like, in your mind, you know, seeing week one, seeing how it played out, hearing from Ben, like, what do you feel like was the biggest point of today if you're, like, the Bears coaching staff and the Bears?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because and we talked about this Friday about all these peripheral guys and the preseason game heroes and the guys that may not factor in the season, but they'll be fun to look back on, like Caden Davis. Like 10 years from now, we're going to be like, oh man, I remember that Caden Davis game, or Savon Ahmed and all that. But I'll be honest with you, man, like, that's fun and that's cool. But to me, you know, what was really cool was seeing Devin Bush make a great stop on third and two. You know, he didn't need to play a lot. Wasn't Devin Bush one of the guys that you had?
You know it.
When we were doing five on it.
Now, fortunately, you know, I knew he was number 12 because you told me. Because if not, his dreads were covering his name, and I just wouldn't have known.
Uh huh. He's not a big guy, is he? Like
no.
Like okay. Like we know. Like this guy's a veteran. Like he's played on a few teams. We know Devin Bush. But you need to see it. It's like, okay, that looked pretty good. DeMarco Jackson, he looked great. He looked great. He had a big stuff early, four tackles. Even like the linebackers had a good day, I thought. Like Reuben Hippolyte, who I know he's easy to pick on, the fourth-round pick from last year, he had seven tackles on the day. So it's like you're just kind of like, especially with Bush and Jackson, because you're gonna see a lot of those two guys, you just sort of check it off. And look, DeMarco Jackson had a couple of huge weeks last year in the regular season for the Bears, but you still want to check that off. You know, I think another guy too that you want to like the training ground is so real for Malik Muhammad. Like watching him line up on the inside on an early series, and all of a sudden I'm watching him in the press box. Oh, now he's on the outside. He had, let me see, five tackles in the game. And at one point, he had what I thought was a terrific open field tackle for a loss, or at least initially was a loss. And then I think, at least in the press box announcer changed it to just a no gain. So it was just a neutral play. But, and I had a great conversation with Malik Muhammad after the game, which I'll play on Monday on Raheemy Harris and Grody, and just talking about the rigors of learning, you know, learning how to play on the inside. And you know, I straight up asked him, I said, what's the most difficult part of, you know, being, you know, learning the nickel position, which Gabe, he just didn't play at Texas. And he told me, he said, it's honestly, it's the run fits, which, you know, that part, the tackling part. And like, you're a part of that. It just, to me, that just told me how many different complications there are when you're playing that position. You know, I thought he would talk about, you know, the quickness of the running backs and not getting burned off the line. Like we saw CJ Gardner-Johnson get exposed a couple of times last year. But, you know, I think that like sometimes we overthink the preseason. Sometimes it's the bread and butter. It's the guys that, you know, are the guys that you're expecting to help you during the regular season that I really was zeroing in on this game. And so I enjoyed that, especially from Malik Muhammad's perspective.
He loved the defense today. You know, there were certainly, you know, people that stood out, the defense as a whole. I mean, once you give up the initial 10 and then you don't give up anything else after that. And I understand that the Browns were, you know, trying new things, going for it on fourth down. But the fact of the matter is they didn't get in the end zone again. And, you know, it takes a team effort to do that. And you're right. Guys like Malik Muhammad learning a new position, but being a football player, right? They talk about athletes that are interchangeable in certain positions, right? Dennis Allen's talked about how he loves guys like that. And Malik Muhammad certainly being one of them. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the linebacker core. You know, it was great to see Jack Sanborn back out there. It's great to see him getting in the mix, you know? It's like, because when you think about, you know, even with DeMarco Jackson, when you're thinking about DeMarco Jackson, Jack Sanborn, TJ Edwards, and Devin Bush, speed, I see speed there, and I know that they're going to get after the ball. Like, they want to be near the ball all the time. And Reuben Hippolyte, obviously a little undersized linebacker. Bears went up and got him, and you were disappointed by what productivity you got out of him in terms of contributing to the team. But there's growth, right? That's why the coaches get paid, because you got to coach these guys up. They need to be better in year two, and I think it was really cool to be able to see, you know, guys like that step up. Beanie Bishop, another one, you know, a guy that gets two interceptions on two different, you know, quarterbacks. And, you know, when you're looking for help in the secondary, getting an interception or two is a good way to get your name recognized.
Hey, man, I mean, Ben Johnson talked about it, you know, like, hey, there's opportunities here. There's chances for guys to surprise us and show us that you're the one. So, you know, I thought that you watched the game, the Bishop, Bishop had to make those interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, they were tailor made, but he made the plays. And you and I have watched a ton of Bears football and seen consequential games where balls go to defensive backs and they are not caught. I'm having like traumatic memory right now from a Kyle Fuller drop in a Detroit game that would have sealed the game at one point in time.
And the ones, Grody, where you after the play, you're like, that's why you're a defensive back and not a wide receiver.
That's so funny because they bust each other's balls on that stuff. That's why you're not you're not playing on my side of the ball, an offensive player would say. It's funny too. You brought up the Bears kind of have undersized linebackers. You know, T.J. Edwards, not a big guy. Devin Bush, not a big guy. Reuben Hippolyte, not a big guy. DeMarco Jackson, a little bit bigger, but they are fast. Bush and Hippolyte. I don't know. Hippolyte might be the fastest of the bunch. I don't know if his game speed, like in-game speed, feels like that necessarily. But he did, and like I said, he did have the 7 tackles, and it was good to see Bush do what he did. But that just dawned on me when you brought up the undersized factor.
Small guys. I'm sure when you stand up next to them in the locker room, you probably are towering over them, Grody. You know, you're a big dude.
I'm not taking them on. Trust me.
Fair enough. Before you leave, I want to say this: Dio Dangbo, not happy with his performance today. It looked like he was getting knocked around all over the place. I was specifically watching him because I wanted to make sure, you know, what kind of impact he was going to make. I did not know he was only 26 years old. I thought Dio Dangbo was like this older veteran on the team. You know, defensive end. But when you're looking at him, I thought he was more like T.J. Edwards' age. He's 30. Grady Jarrett, not that old. But DeMarco Jackson, 28. Jack Sanborn's 26. You know, these are guys that I thought maybe Dio was a bit older than. You know, Jeremy Croma, 26 years old. Dio Dangbo, 26? I need you to get it
together. Yeah, well, he only played, I think, 4 years with the Colts. And he, you know, this is a projection player. This is a guy that they thought might be on the rise. It was interesting watching him today because he was, again, as they said, and that he would be mostly playing, you know, interior on the interior and not as an edge rusher. The only thing I'll say is, and you're right,
you're
Gabe,
so positive. You're so positive, Grody, and I love it.
You know me, man. You know me. I'm still surprised he's back from the injury. So I'm going to give him a little bit of time.
Okay.
To get right. And I understand. No, like, I'm not pushing back on you for being critical or even being disappointed.
You want Dio Dangbo to be the defensive. I get it. You like him. You like the guy. You know? I get it.
Why you got to try to do me?
You have a Dio Dangbo jersey in your cart. And you want him to perform well, Grody. It's all good, bro.
Good old number 55. You know, I got to take it to the tailor, to the cleaner right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but get it 58 for Wilbur Marshall.
Wait, is he 58?
No. I was going to say, for Wilbur Marshall, you might want to take that other
Yeah. Gotcha. I got a lot of 58s. I like Wilbur Marshall. Give me a little Roquan Smith. I'll take that, too.
Fair enough. Hey, Grody, I appreciate you jumping on, man. We love your insight, especially fresh off the game, fresh out of the locker room. You get to come on and give the score people what they want. That's why you're the man.
Heck yeah. Always a pleasure. You know, Gabe, I'll come on with you anytime, brother. I appreciate you.
Love it. Thanks, Grody. All right, make sure you check out Mark Grody. Monday, he's going to have all the locker room audio that you're going to want to hear. Monday afternoon, or midday, excuse me, 10 to 2 with Raheem Harrison Grody. Make sure you guys are locked in. All right, we're going to take a break, but I do want to take your phone calls, right? And, you know, okay, I get it. It's not a regular season game. You might not have enough critiques on the people, but I do want to know your takeaways. It's a brand new season. Year 2 of Ben Johnson. What did you see that you liked? And what did you see that you did not like? 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on the Bears postgame on 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
That is just me being extremely late. Complete slappy move on my part. Gotta be better there. I think one less hitch will get the job done, or, you know, just move on to the next progression, throw it in the dirt, but by all means, do not throw an interception.
Tyson Bagent talking about being slappy. Now, I'm Gabe Ramirez here hanging out with you. Bears postgame. Bears win 34-10 against the Cleveland Browns. They were down 10-0 early, then scored 34 straight points. Now, I talk a lot about being hangry. You know what that is, Clint? Hungry and angry.
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard of slangry? sleepy and angry. See? Because sometimes you're tired and you're grumpy. I have three kids. I'm very aware of being slangry. Slappy? Sloppy and happy? What's the conjunction there? What's the two words with slappy?
Sloppy and slap.
Sloppy and happy. He was a sloppy, happy quarter. He's happy his preseason, but it was some sloppy play. But I'm glad that he learned from it. He knows better than that. It was a duck that he put out there. He didn't want to throw an interception. Usually Tyson Bajan is crisp. That's why I think it was a bit shocking for me. But let's go out to the phone lines. Want to take your reactions. Obviously, the Bears, it's the first time you're seeing the Bears play football in months. And now you get an opportunity. Maybe you only caught some of it. Maybe you caught some highlights. Maybe you have questions about the games. We want to hear it all. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Mike out in Antioch. Mike, good to hear from you again, man. What questions do you have on your mind surrounding this Bears team?
Well, we're looking a lot better than we have in the past. I can just say that from the eye test, as it goes. But that being said, I'm wondering if Caleb is part cyborg or they've got some kind of device on his left arm. When we were watching the pregames today, noticed that there's some kind of, I don't know if it looked like something like a communication type of thing, or maybe something that was like monitoring his blood sugar or something like that. Maybe I don't know if anybody else picked up on that.
Didn't catch that. Another,
no. Okay. And then another thing I noticed was in Cleveland, they have the helmet cams on as they were, you know, filming the quarterbacks or whatever. The quarterbacks had their own little first person point of view cameras on them. But the Bills did not. I don't know if you think that's something that are the Bears doing anything like that now? And, I don't know if anybody else noticed.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I think what happens is a lot of times they use that in the film room, right? They want to see perspectives, what you're seeing, where your eyes should be at certain moments. I know Ben Johnson preaches that a lot. Hey, your eyes should be here looking at your first progression, and then you need to go to number two, which is over here. So I'm sure they're looking at the head movements, because if you're skipping a progression, right, then you're not operating the offense the way that the coordinator
right,
is designing
to see what
it
they see exactly. And how they're going through their progressions. I get that.
Yeah, exactly.
How much of that do you think is going to end up on Shador's Instagram?
Probably none of it. I hope not.
You don't think, right?
But, yeah, I hope he's focused on some other stuff. Let me ask you this, Mike. Thoughts on the Bears' upcoming season, right? I mean, you're dealing with injuries to Luther Burden. Obviously, you know, you lose Kobe Bryant. The Bears won 11 games last year. They got a first-place schedule. I'm just curious your thoughts of just, you know, heading into the season where you're not expectations, but what you think is going to happen.
Well, I'd say in Ben we trust. At this point, I like everything that's been coming out of Hallis Hall as far as the energy and the, the mantra as it goes. So it's a lot different than a few of the guys we've had in the past. And
are you expecting 11 wins, Mike? Are you expecting 11 wins?
I'm looking forward to less fourth quarter comebacks.
Yes.
So now that we got Jack Sanborn back in the mix, hopefully we can get some more stops, right? More yeah. Three and outs.
That might be the case. I know. I was trying to tell my wife earlier today because she's like, babe, so? And I was like, I don't know, babe. And maybe it's just the cynic Bears fan in me, right? The one that Kyle Long told me I need to kill. I need to kill that old Bears fan. But it's like I can't help myself.
I went to the storage outside. I got the old sound bar out. And I tried to get in the surround sound all hooked up for the game today, and had to listen to my wife tell me it's just a preseason game. But they all matter.
A divorceable offense, right there, if you ask me, Mike. My wife knew better than to say something like that. Maybe because she knew I was working the game. Maybe that's why. My mom said that though. My mom was like, "It's just what preseason. What did we?" Said, No, she called it.
I got to hear the hits. Yeah. I want to hear the whistles. I got to hear the F-bombs.
Mike, I said this. If they're wearing a helmet with a C on it, and they have a blue jersey, and they have other jerseys that are not the same as those, I'm watching. I don't care what it is. Like, I will be locked in. I'm going to let you know about the fourth stringer and how well that person did.
Everybody's trying to get a job, right?
Exactly. That's the other thing too. It's like a human experiment in real time. You're seeing guys right. that want to make $1 million. Literally, they want to make a million. This is a lottery out here. If you can perform well, you can find yourself some dollars that are out there. So it's like the best reality show ever.
Moreover, I like hearing them talk. I like hearing the voice inside the helmet, right? Like, yeah. I never thought that guy would sound like that or, yeah. you know, whatever.
Or look like that, too. You get guys' faces that you never see. Hey,
good
Mike.
Thing Devin Hester for the return punts, man. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Good thing. That is for sure. Hey, Mike, I appreciate you calling in as always, brother.
Yes, sir. Be well. All right.
Of course.
Thank you.
312-644-6767. Taking your phone calls. And, again, it don't have to be about the game, per se. It could be about questions that you have surrounding your favorite team, the Chicago Bears. Let's go to Charlie out in Shelbyville. Charlie, what were you impressed with after watching the first preseason game of the season, of the year?
Well, thanks for having me on. And honestly, what I was impressed with was how this team just feels like it's bought into both sides of the field. Like, I only seen one, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I only seen one penalty this whole game.
Two penalties.
On the Bears. Was there two?
But still.
But I thought that's
equally as impressive.
Huge.
Yeah, equally as impressive.
Yeah, compared to how I understood last year because they're doing a new offense, but this is a problem that plagued the Bears for at least, you know, 5 years, is penalties, just stupid penalties. And I thought it was awesome seeing the second, third string, of course, just, you know, mount up to the task and keep it clean.
I agree with you 100%. You cannot. I mean, first of all, thank you for bringing that up, because I had yet to.
I haven't heard it all day.
You're
so
right.
I was wondering.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I did see that it was only two penalties, and my ears perked up like, damn, I do remember the beginning of last season, and it seemed as though the Bears are getting penalized, especially pre-snap penalties, because they weren't necessarily in sync with every single aspect of the offense. And so to only have two on not just the offense, but the defense as well as a whole. You know, again, you talk about disciplined teams, well-coached teams. They talked about it last year, saying that teams that get a lot of penalties, you know, the correlation is that they aren't a well-coached team. Well, here we are in year two of the install, and you got guys that understand, right? There are even the new guys that come in, Charlie, they are being taught by those that were there. Like, nah, bro, this is how we do things, and this is how much we have to pay attention to these minute details.
Yeah, that's exactly how I thought. It's like I can feel Ben Johnson just like settling in with these guys, you know, like every detail matters.
So talk to me about, you know, I asked Mike from Antioch right before you, and I guess I'm just, you know, really just checking the temperature of Bears fans out there, myself included, because I'm trying to really wrap my brain around what am I working toward this year? Because let me tell you something, Charlie. 2 years ago, I was like, I will not be emotionally invested in this team. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. It was that bad. It got that bad. And I'm doing post games, and I'm like, I don't care. I'm in on the team. I'm in on what happens.
Lifelong,
of course.
42 years now, I've been a Bears fan, and like,
right. But this is different.
It all turned around.
This year's different.
After years of miscoaching and just, you know, not having a quarterback, like we're seeing everything I've wanted. Technically, I was alive in 85. But, like, this is what I want to see. It's like when the Cubs won. It's like, this is what I need to see.
Yes. Charlie, so let's fast forward to this season, because it isn't last year, right? We're probably not going to get the miraculous season that we saw back in 2025, 2026.
We're not going to have six games where we come back
absolutely
from nowhere
not.
Just to win it. Like,
so what?
What are
your expectations,
put ourselves
though?
In that position, I hope.
But what are your expectations? Is it 11 victories in the NFC North?
My dad went to a playoff game last year for the first time ever, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, it's playoffs, baby. Like, we're going to be there.
I love it. I love hearing that, and hopefully it could be via the winning of the division as opposed to a wild card. Charlie, I appreciate you calling in as always, man. Whenever I'm on, you know you got the fast track to my phone lines, all right?
Man, thank you so much for having me, and go Bears, go Cubs, go White Sox. I know we're going to see them Monday, but let's just win some games.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, Charlie, thanks for the call, man. 312-644-6767. 67-67. It is Gabe Ramirez. We're taking your phone calls. Bears beat the Cleveland Browns 34-10 in this one. When you're looking at the stats, they stand out, man. Bears 348 passing yards split between three quarterbacks, 82 yards rushing. Bears put up 34 straight points after being down 10-0 in this one. Some of the bigger standouts for the Chicago Bears, Case Keenum, 9 for 10 on the day, 151, two touchdowns, 158.3 passer rating. That, if you're not familiar, is a perfect one. Roschon Johnson, Savon Ahmed, Bennett Brown, all having rushes. I know Grody said he liked the running back performance today, but I was a little underwhelmed. I got to be honest. I was a little underwhelmed. On the receiving end, Caden Davis, 4 catches, 88 yards. Ray-Ray McCloud, 3 for 63. Savon Ahmed had a 49-yard dump off from Case Keenum that resulted in a touchdown. Maurice Alexander had a 25-yard catch for a touchdown. Looked speedy out there. Looked tiny. Looked like you, Clint Klaus. Little small guy. You know what I'm saying?
Little 5'10 running around.
Buck 37, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Buck 42.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, okay, he looked a little slender out there. But, I mean, J.P. Richardson got involved. You got a chance to see Sam Roush. So there were things that you can point to that you felt good about. But, you know, not a lot of starters out there. So you couldn't really fully assess this Bears team. But if you're like me, you just love the fact that the Bears were playing football again. So the phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Curious about what you learned about this Bears team after their victory today, and it could be something you learned that was positive. Maybe your linebackers, maybe what you liked from Neville Gallimore, or it could be something negative from someone in particular. We're taking thoughts on that, and then just any questions you might have about this Bears team that is still lingering as we head into the march towards the beginning of the regular season. Again, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you right here on 104.3 The Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
That's a hard one for me to assess right now. Sometimes that trench play, you gotta go ahead and take a look at the lens from behind and really be able to take a look at it. But as a whole, I would say offensive line, I felt like our quarterback got hit more than I would like. Tyson certainly did in the first half, and second half we still felt some pressures there on Case and Miller. So we'll look at why that was the case, and then running game wise was a little bit spotty as well. So different style of defense certainly attributes to that. Their front is coming off the ball, and they make it very difficult for one-on-one blocks, and you got to be very specific with your angles and all that. And so there's a back and forth there in the running game as well. So hard to say a whole lot about left tackle quite yet.
Ben Johnson talking about the offensive line, specifically the left tackle position. And just like Grody said, just like Anthony Heron said, Ben Johnson is reiterating it all, saying, I got to look at the tape so that he can assess Jedrick Wills, Karan Amagaji. I mean, listen, if you're a Bears fan, no one's going to magically become an all-pro left tackle. Let's just be very clear on that, okay? And so how this thing pans out, it's really about Will and determination. And I'm not talking about Jedrick Wills. I'm talking about actual Will. How great do you want to be? You have an opportunity. Think about it. You think you should be the starting left tackle anyway, right? NFL players have this unique confidence in them. And not only do you feel, but most people don't get the opportunity to. You think it, but you don't get the actual chance. There is an open competition for this left tackle position. As I said, dominate the man in front of you. And then you can find yourself with more reps. And you know what that equates to? More dollars. I'm sure everybody wants that. But this Monday, I know what you want. You want more Matt Spiegel and Ryan McGuffey. Of course, The Score, you can hang out with them at the Cubby Bear in Wrigleyville along with Circus Sports and Yingling. Matt Spiegel, Ryan McGuffey will be live from Cubby Bear from 2 to 6 p.m. getting you set for the Crosstown Series opener. Ron Coomer will be on site at 4:25, followed by Jed Hoyer at 5 o'clock. It's all brought to you by Yingling Flight, the next generation of light beer, and by Circus Sports, sports betting the way it should be with no bet fees. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, taking a couple more phone calls before we get out of here. Let's go to Mark out in Chicago. Mark, when you're
looking... Hey, man, how you...
Good, brother. What's up, man? Talk to me about this game. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the operation was phenomenal. I mean, like, looking back from last year, like, to where we were at, with the stop in practice, going to training camp this year, you see, like, just operationally, like, Ben Johnson's, you know, happy with it for the most part. I think I had two penalties today. And then you look at the Cleveland Browns team who's struggling, and it's like to see, like, where we were a few years ago to where we are now, looking at, like, just the difference in a competent franchise as that we're becoming.
Yes, that's a great
look
word.
Look at, like, somewhere where we used to be. Yeah. But look, it feels good that we look competent, like a real football team.
Yeah, and it's great to see because, you know, that is the expectation. And, Mark, I want to ask you a question because, you know, all we've been hearing, right, you lose DJ Moore. You saw the great highlight he just had for the Buffalo Bills the other day.
Yeah.
You lose DJ Moore. Luther Burden goes down. You're banking on Colston Loveland. You bring in Sam. And I'm like, damn, I'm looking at this offense, and I'm like, I'm trying to be convinced that they're going to be significantly better. And the only argument people can make is that it's year two of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And so you seem like someone who's equally as optimistic about this team and the offense. Can you quantify it a little bit for me? Like, what is this leap that I'm supposed to be looking at? Is it simply more yards for Caleb Williams? Is it a higher completion percentage? Is it, like, what is this leap that I'm supposed to be experiencing in year two of these two guys being together?
I mean, honestly, you just look at, like, the way the backups performed today, like, to hit for 300 and some odd yards. And, like, that's, like, before the operation even, like, goes to, like, the starter, right? You have a superstar and then making it quarterback. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the 4,000 yards is fine, whatever that is. I mean, but honestly, if you get your offense output, you're scoring 30-something points a game. I mean, no, we're not going to be necessarily, like, you know, the Peyton Manning team like Ben Johnson thinks we might be. At the same time, like, I mean, if you're hitting near, like, 400 yards a game, I mean, so you have to, like, before you even put in the USC quarterback today, like, you know, we had solid offensive output. I mean, that's, again, it's preseason, you're playing against who you're playing against, but, I mean, if you're looking at, like, efficiency, looking at just, like, sort of execution, like, this team's already kind of showing it. Obviously, no, like, you know, like, overreaching from one game in the preseason, but, like, if this is the culture of the team, you know, and it's sort of, like, in the building, like, I don't know. I think you could probably quantify it in games one. And if we're hitting 12 wins or so again, like, I think that's what we're looking
Oh, my God. So. If the Bears win 12 games, I my fandom would just go to another level. Because I'm, you know, the cynic will be kicked out of my heart. And if the Bears win 12, Ben Johnson will really turn me into a, not that I'm not a believer already, but, I mean, I don't know. I'll be the head of the fan club or something like that. Mark, I appreciate you tuning in, man. Whenever I'm on, you know I like to hear from you.
Oh, fabulous, man. Thank you.
Yep. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, football fans, I had Mark Grody on earlier today, but he and Dan Weeder are going to be having a special Take the North live. It's going to be Monday, August 24th. It'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. at Gurney Hyundai. So if you are up north in the North Burbs, Waukegan, North Chicago, Lake Forest, or you just want to take the ride out there to hang out with Mark and Dan Weeder, there's going to be appearances from players and a complete breakdown of the biggest training camp storylines ahead of the season. It's all sponsored by the Roarman Automotive Group. Get full synthetic oil changes for just $50. Visit Roarman.com. And yes, it is Hyundai, like Sunday. I know a lot of people think it's Hyundai. It's not. It's not. How do I know? I did commercials for them, and I got yelled at when I said Hyundai. And they're like, Gabe, Hyundai, like Sunday. I said, oh, okay, got it. So make sure you hang out. Monday, August 24th. Again, Bears in this one, first game of the preseason, 34-10. Bears get the victory. If you didn't get a chance to watch, Case Keenum, 9 for 10 on the day, 151 yards, two passing touchdowns. Bears were down 10-0 in this one, then rattled off 34 straight points. If you're looking at who's going to be that third running back after Kyle Manungai and DeAndre Swift, keep an eye out for Savon Ahmed. Not only did he perform well in the running attack, but also in the backfield, pass catching. And, you know, when he was in Miami, there was like 50 running backs that were there. If you play fantasy football, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's someone that got injured and kind of got lost in the sauce and now gets an opportunity to really take on that tertiary role for the Chicago Bears in that situation. On the receiving side, Caden Davis, 4 catches, 88 yards. The two touchdowns, as I mentioned, Savon Ahmed had 3 catches, 55 yards, with that 49-yard touchdown from Case Keenum. Maurice Alexander, a 25-yard touchdown as well. And then Britton Brown caught a little dump off out of the backfield for a touchdown. He had 2 catches, 12 yards in this one as well. Cairo Santos, he ended up getting a field. He was 2 for 3 on field goals today. So special teams was in. Ruben Hippolyte led the Bears in tackles today with 7 and 4 solo tackles. And then another name, these are the names that stood out. These are the ones that I wrote down. All right. So heading into the next preseason game next Saturday against Cincinnati, Malik Muhammad had himself a game. Savon Ahmed, the running back, had one. John Rattigan came in the fourth quarter, had some really good tackles. Beanie Bishop, as Mark Grody pointed out, he had to come down with those. Had two interceptions on the day. Caden Davis was great. Jamri Croma, that's who you got to pay attention to, a guy who's looking to make a name for himself on this defensive line. And then Devin Bush had himself a game, too, with some really good tackles. So overall, it was exactly what you wanted, an opportunity to get your feet wet. Bears took full advantage of it, taking the victory, and hopefully they could take the good momentum into next week. All right, play my music for me. This is good. This is my outro music, Clint. This is what I like, something fun. It could be Bears music if you want. I know you've been having that in heavy rotation. Yeah, there you go. Don't worry. It's all good. Want to thank Clint Klaus for producing today. Muchísimas gracias, señor.
De nada.
I didn't know you were bilingual. Look at that.
I know a little bit of Spanish, just the basics.
You dated some Spanish girls in your day, I could tell. Ah, that I do know. All right, I'm about to get up out of here. Tomorrow, if you're heading to the Chicago Fire match, I will be hosting in the building. Robert Lewandowski going to go ahead and take us because, you know, the Fire in first place of League's Cup. And that'll be an interesting one as well. Don't forget, you can follow me on social media on X at Gabe Ramirez or on Instagram where I really get it popping at Chicago_Gabe. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio. Six, 7, 8, score.